back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Once again, time permitting, text line 251-343-0106. Joining us now on the line, it's been a while, but we're always glad we can make time for him. But Chip Brown, state representative here on the program. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. Great to be with you today.
Hey, thanks for making time to appreciate it. Well, I'll kick it off here, kind of ask, since it's been a, it started out a quiet sort of off season, if you will, but how's it been since Sonny died earlier?
It's been busy. I'll tell you what, it's, keeping us hopping for sure. We're getting ready for the session coming up in January, so it's getting busier and busier each day.
Yeah, and the session's early, so I assume it's maybe it's picking up for sure. And you just historically, and you've been there a while now, that it's the fourth year of a quadrennium. Maybe there's some things, some loose ends you want to get done, things you want to get done before the next election comes. But it does seem like you're kind of on an expedited trajectory.
Yeah, that's usually true. Everybody's ready to get through the session, but I mean, last year was the House. When the House was concerned, we left a lot of good bills waiting on to get on the calendar in the Senate. So we've got some work to do for sure.
Yeah, the Senate filibuster really let down a lot of people, but maybe that gets rectified this coming year. Hey, I guess the reason why I want to get you on here, and Anaya's Law is back in the news, and the Montgomery situation is what it is. This time, not necessarily the mayor's doing, but just a judge putting someone out there in this shootout investigation or prosecution out on bail. This is a layup here. This shows you where things can be tweaked and improved, right?
Well, that's absolutely correct. And we've had enough time now. Anaya's Law passed at the ballot box in 2022, and it's used basically every day across the state. And if you look, though, those counties like Montgomery County, Jefferson County, they don't use it as much. It tends to run, and when you look at the judges, it's the Democrat judges are the ones that are soft on crime and not using it. The DAs in those counties as well. So, I think it does make a difference when it's utilized properly, because it has to meet one of those thresholds to keep the person behind bars awaiting trial of being an imminent threat to the community, to themselves, or a flight risk. And if you look at counties, say a Mobile County, it's used very often. And, it's a shame, really, because it's there to save lives. And when it's used properly, it does.
Well, this one right here hits a little harder because this was such a high-profile circumstance. But, I assume you tracked it. And the trend is, like you said, The bigger counties are the ones that are, maybe they're more blue or whatever, but they're the ones with the crime problem, probably where this is most applicable.
That's absolutely right. If you look at the counties that aren't using it like they should or having that opportunity to use it, tend to be your larger metro county areas. If you get out in the rural counties, say like in the Wiregrass or in remote parts of North Alabama, it's used not as much, but that's because they don't have as many violent criminal cases coming in front of them. But in Mobile County, it is used. And, it's there for a reason. It's there to keep bad guys behind bars so that they don't commit more crimes being out on the streets. And it's people that know, that the DA knows, that they have a high propensity to be violent offenders if they get back out on the street. And that was the whole purpose of passing the law, was to keep those guys behind bars, that those DAs, those sheriffs, those police chiefs know if they get back out on the street, they're going to commit another violent crime against an Alabamian.
Well, it sounds like the problem is that there's the judge's discretion here. And some of these judges are just not going to. I mean, they'll take the hits politically, maybe politically in their own little neck of the woods. It's not even a hit, right? Does it need that to be more shall instead of can when it comes to this?
Well, we looked at that. I mean, when I worked on Anaya's law for 3 years before we were able to get it passed through the House and Senate, every year, first year it passed the House and then got tied up, run out of time in the Senate, and the next year was a COVID year, and then we passed it unanimously out of the House and Senate in 21, and then it was voted on in 22. One of the things we had to be careful on was the Eighth Amendment. And because what I didn't want to happen is we passed something and then it immediately Southern Poverty Law Center, ACLU, file a suit against the state. And then, it might all be for naught. And so I think that's one thing that we had to look at. And we had some constitutional attorneys look at it. And that was one of the main concerns about making it with a shall versus a may.
But it sounds like it sounds to me like there's people who are kind of like, well, maybe it should be shall, maybe it not instead of may, that because this is kind of an outrage that the suspect would be out right now. Like I said, I don't know. Montgomery seems pretty fed up with the situation there, but politically, these judges in these blue counties tend to kind of, go in that direction.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, they need to be held accountable for their decisions on the bench. I mean, it's just like members of the legislature, we have to be accountable for our votes on legislation. So that should be taken into consideration. But often those blue counties who need it the most actually are the ones who tend to elect people that are soft on crime. And it's a phenomenon that I don't really understand it, because you're basically voting to hurt yourself. But I don't know. I know the governor's fed up, and we need to maybe take another look at it.
It's just kind of interesting that this is the way it's playing out. And what do you foresee? Last question on this. What do you foresee being able to accomplish? Because it sounds like right now you could strike when the iron's hot. Now is when people, especially on the Democrat side, might be reluctant to oppose any of these efforts.
Well, that's absolutely right. And, I have talked to some different attorneys about that issue, and we're taking another look at it just to make sure that if there is something that we can do that does make it mandatory to have the hearing, because what you're not doing is you're not saying you will have to be held without bond. What you're saying is we'll have a hearing to determine what becomes of you. And, it's definitely something we need to take a look at. When we were working on this originally, there were some parties that came out that, wanted to change some of the wording, and, You had judges that were very, very pro wanting a nice law to pass. And then you had some that were not so much in favor of it because of the increased workload. And that's just reality, But I think that, along with the governor's office, we definitely have taken another look at it.
Joined by State Representative Chip Brown here on the program. The other thing that's been really big, that you've been very instrumental in, some of the seafood regulation and the law. We'll start with the labeling law. And it's the Department of Public Health. Have they approved their efforts since you've last talked about it? Have you seen any movement there?
Well, what the Department of Public Health says and what's really going on, I don't think are necessarily on the same page. I don't think it is a priority for them, unfortunately. And so we're going to have to look at changing the enforcement side of it. I mean, we have the technology. You've seen that with the Shrimp Festival and testing of the restaurants. I mean, it's pretty fascinating. They have the DNA lines of pretty much any shrimp around the world. They can also do it with oysters and tell you, no, that oyster's from China, or that oyster's from off some coast of South America. And they've been doing that. You know, they've been going in and testing restaurants, testing and comparing them to what they have on the menu. And it's, you know, what saddens me about that too is how many restaurants are not acting in good faith. And that it's unfortunate because, you know, what we were trying to do was, one, to promote people to buy seafood that's caught in the Gulf of America and caught in Mobile Bay, and also to provide the consumers the opportunity that they need to know, hey, this is where my seafood comes from, and is it farm raised or is it wild caught? But you have a lot of restaurants that are still thumbing their nose at it and just not doing it, or they're looking at a loophole in there that was intended for delis and places like in a grocery store that don't have a fixed menu, and could promote the, say they have that on a sign on the wall, and a lot of restaurants are looking at that loophole and some just aren't following it. So we're going to have to go back and look at better enforcement. And if that means changing agencies for the enforcement side, then we may have to do that, because right now I just don't think the Department of Public Health is doing an adequate job.
Well, what's the penalty? I mean, you know, that's the teeth in it. Is are the enforcement mechanisms needing more, you know, a deterrence or something there?
Well, we do have some financial penalties, but, you know, at the end of the day, I think that that's, you know, we put the, I wrote the bill, we put it out there, and, you know, that's like any legislation. You can look at what happens with it, come back and tweak it, make it better. And that's one of the things I think we have to look at too, is the enforcement side really putting some teeth into it where it it will make a big difference of the actual restaurants wanting to follow the law and, you know, doing it the right way.
And that's, you know, I guess the other, but as you were saying, the problem that you're running into beyond just the good and bad actors on the retail side is Department of Public Health. This is not one of their priorities for whatever reason.
It's not. And it's a shame too, because if you think about it, you know, the one, you have the consumer that has a right to know where their food's coming from, but then also from the safety standpoint, I mean, there's numerous videos out there that I'd urge anybody and that's listening to go out there and get on YouTube and look up Vietnamese catfish or sway and see how that's raised. I mean, they're raised in ditches off the sides of the roads in Vietnam. I mean, all kinds of things run into those ditches, and then they're brought here marketed as whitefish or a sway, which sounds exotic. I even had somebody at a restaurant one time tell me that. I said, what's the catch today? And they said, sway. I said, where did you catch that? Where'd it come from? And they went and asked the chef and came back and told me that it was from the Gulf. I said, no, might be a Gulf in Vietnam, but it's not the Gulf that we know. And so it's from a safety standpoint, I think that the Department of Public Health really needs to look at that. I mean, it's not a not more of an effort when they go in to look at food safety, to look at where their seafood is coming from.
Is this a possible problem that they're just the restaurants are being told one thing from their suppliers, from their distributors, that this is real bona fide Gulf of America shrimp or whatever, and then you do the test and it turns out it's not?
Well, that could possibly happen. I mean, that could happen for sure. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it falls on the restaurants to know where their seafood is coming from. And if they do get tested, which many of them are getting tested, and, you know, looking at the DNA aspects of it, they can come in, like I said, and then tell you, well, that shrimp actually comes from the coast of Argentina, or it comes from, you know, the South China Sea, and it's not what you say it is, or it is imported, and there's been some restaurants that when they were confronted with that and went back for a second test, they were changed. They changed and have all domestic shrimp. And, I mean, at the end of the day, it's an issue of safety. It's an issue of keeping the consumer safe. And it's an issue of trying to help out the economy of the state of Alabama.
Yeah, and, you know, I just kind of have been in the hallways, Representative, during that whole deal. I mean, you faced, like, really some serious stiff opposition. Retailers did not want to deal with this at all. Like, this was something and, you know, believe it or not, they really, really did oppose you on this, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. It wasn't easy. The hospitality folks, you know, the restaurants, the grocery stores, retail association folks, there was definitely some opposition, but I mean, at the end of the day, you gotta do what's right. And, you know, we worked this through. I chair the committee on ports and waterways, and we were able to get it into my committee and steer it through. And Senator Sessions, David Sessions, it was a great help in the Senate of getting it out and everything. And, but yeah, there was definitely opposition. I mean, I would come back to my office, come off the floor and walk out to my office, and I would have 10 people waiting on me to discuss this legislation. And, you know, that's just the way it goes. You got to fight for what's right.
Yeah, I that was always a topic of conversation and what they were going to do. And I remember, man, this is a heavier lift than I could have imagined, but you got it done. Representative, we're out of time. We're a little long here, but thanks again for coming on. Let's do it again real soon.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. Everybody have a good day. Great day. Thanks.
Chip Brown, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.